are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball!
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons podcast. If you missed yesterday's Locked On NBA on Friday, make sure you stay tuned for Monday's Locked On NBA and start your week with Josh Lloyd, host of the number one fantasy basketball podcast in the world, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, as he takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast today wherever you get your podcasts. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me on Twitter, at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me on YouTube, at Kuz Ballroom. You can also find me at Detroit Bad Boys, writing articles about the Pistons. And on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about John Wall is now asking for a trade. Him and the Houston Rockets have agreed to mutually part ways. Should the Pistons be involved to be interested in taking on John Wall in that hefty contract? Also, Bleacher Report redrafted last year's draft class. I always think it's kind of dumb to have one of those redrafts. Only a year after, it doesn't really make any sense. But anyways, they did do it, so we'll talk about that. How do I feel about where the Pistons rookies place in that redraft? And then I'll also talk about if we took one player from the 2004 going to work team and put him on this team, who would we pick? I answered that a little bit on the mailbag a few podcasts ago. One of you guys sent it in. I also tweeted out yesterday. We got a lot of submissions on it, so I want to talk about it again at the end of the podcast. Before we get into any of that, John Wall. So him and the Houston Rockets have decided to mutually part ways. And, you know, John Wall is a big name. So, of course, when a big name like him, even after all the injuries and whether he's still a good player or not or all that, when a big name like him requests a trade or basically is on the market, it's going to make waves. It's going to cause media. It's going to make stories, etc. So as soon as that happened, immediately you already saw all over the place from Pistons fans and the Pistons community. Oh, are the Pistons going to trade after John Wall? Should they go after John Wall? You had a bunch of people trolling, saying, yeah, let's go get him. You know, so it's a big topic right now, I guess, just to figure out where is John Wall going. So, does John Wall make sense for the Pistons? Does it make sense for the Pistons to go after John Wall? So, this is the funny thing about it. So, I'm saying no, the Pistons shouldn't go after John Wall, by the way. That's my answer. But there is something funny about this that actually makes it, like, I guess the word would be interesting. Let me make it clear. I do not think the Pistons should do this with John Wall. They should not go after him, etc. But the funny thing is this. So, we talked about Ben Simmons on the last episode, and he has 4 years under his massive contract that he's being overpaid for. And, you know, that kind of makes it hard to go after him and why I would be, I don't think the Pistons should go after him. The funny thing about it with John Wall is John Wall only has this year and the next year under contract right now. And you figure that if the Houston Rockets do trade John Wall, they're going to have to attach multiple picks to him to make it happen, okay? This is why it's funny to me. Because if he's only under contract the next 2 years, that whole big 2023 area, that whole 2023 offseason that everyone's like eyeing and everyone's saying, like, you know, that's when the Pistons are really going to pounce. That's the year that Troy Rivers is really looking in at. This contract would be coming off the books that offseason. So he would still have that 2023 big splash moment that if he wants to have it, that is still going to be able to happen if they were to bring John Wall in. Except you're probably going to be taking in multiple first round picks as well, because Houston does have, even though they've lost a few of their own first round picks, I believe it was the 2024 one and 2026 one, they did recoup 9 first round picks from that James Harden trade last year. So they do still have first-round picks that they can attach to John Wall to get him out of there. Obviously, that's going to have to happen if they do trade him wherever he goes. I think they're probably going to end up having to buy him out. I don't think any teams are going to eventually take him. And I doubt that Houston really wants to get rid of their first-round picks that they just recuperated on from the James Harden trade just to move off another bad contract. I don't know if they really want to do that. But if they are doing it and they're attaching it to John Wall and they want to move him, again, I don't think the Pistons should do it, but it's kind of funny how that lines up to where if, like, let's just say in, like, an alternate universe, Troy Weaver does do this. Like, let's just say in an alternate universe, like, a few weeks from now, Troy Weaver pulls the trigger, and it's like, oh, Pistons trade for John Wall and receive multiple first-round picks to take on his contract. It literally still lines up with his timeline that if it's 2023 that he wants to make a splash on, John Wall's contract's not doing anything to hurt that, and he's taking on more first-round picks. So, I mean, in an evil kind of way, again, evil. I'm saying they shouldn't do it. I'm going to keep saying that. but in an evil type of way, it kind of makes sense. Okay, don't come at me, don't go crazy on me, but it kind of, in like an evil type of way, it makes sense. Because you'll get first round picks and you still have that window open that you want to take advantage of. Now, obviously, John Wall probably wouldn't like being here. It'd be just as big as an issue. You have Cade and Killian. You're probably not going to play John Wall much at all. You probably don't have much interest in him as the player, more so the picks that you'll get back. And then also, you know, the salary that you'll have to send back to him, to Houston, I should say, just to make that work would be hard to do as well. You're probably looking at giving up Jeremy Grant. You're looking at Jeremy Grant, possibly Kelly Olynyk. You wouldn't even be able to trade Kelly Olynyk right now. You have to wait a few months down the line. I believe it's like December 8th that you have to wait until you can trade someone that you had just signed. So it'd be hard to make the contracts work this year, yes, because of the dead salary the Pistons have. Because they have, what, $48 million on dead salary right now? 28, yeah, around there. It would be tough to do it. And actually, tough isn't even the most accurate way to put it. It almost is impossible for them to get these salaries to match. But I just wanted to talk about it because I thought it was pretty interesting because, you know, even though it's kind of like hard to do with the salaries, it's like, well, you know, if they did take the chance, or not take the chance, but like, you know, take John Wall's contract on for a bad team, you know, you usually eating salary and taking picks with it as part of the thing that they do. And the Pistons could do that if they wanted to. And then also, like, still have that 2023 offseason to splash because his contract ends before then. Again, I don't think they should do this. It doesn't, it would hurt them more than it would help them, I think, right now. But again, like in an evil cosmic, what's that saying that Plankton says in SpongeBob in a cosmic sort of way? Yes. It kind of is, man. It's like an evil type of way. It's like, you know, it's not good, but is it awful? Is it really that bad? But yeah, I don't think they should do it, but I thought it was pretty fun to look at like that. And that, you know, if Troy Weaver were to actually do it, it still would kind of fit into his timeline. So, I mean, it is what it is. I am interested to see, though, where John Wall ends up. So if you have any idea or, like, have a guess of where you think he should end up or, like, have a suggestion that somewhere you think he would fit in really good at, go ahead and tweet that at me at Kukahill NBA. Let me know what you guys think. I really would like to see where he goes. I think he's going to end up having to buy out with the Rockets. I know they said they don't really want to do that, but I really don't see a team being interested in taking on that contract. And I honestly don't see the Houston Rockets wanting to give up multiple picks that they just got last year in that James Harden trade just to move off of a bad contract. I don't think they want to do that. So I think they're probably going to end up buying him out. So let me know where you guys think he's going to end up. It's not going to be Detroit. That whole little trade idea, possibly we just spent talking about it. It was just a fun, evil talent kind of thing to talk about. But it's not going to happen. The Pistons shouldn't do it. But if they did, would it really be that bad? But anyways, coming back up after the ad break, we'll talk about the redraft that Bleacher Report did. A Piston did get up into the top 5, and another Piston dropped to about the low 20s, and one Piston stayed in the teens. Which Pistons are we talking about here? I think you are at least going to get one of these wrong, I promise you. If you don't know it, I think you will get at least one of these wrong just from those clues. It's not who you think, I think. But before we get into that, let me tell you about some of our sponsors. First up, Built Bar. The best tasting protein bar on the planet Earth comes with a variety of flavors, including 6 new flavors in caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. All flavors are covered in incredible tasting chocolate and are soft and easy on the teeth to chew. These bars are low in calorie and sugar, but high in protein and fiber. A flavor I suggest is the peanut butter flavor. And again, I've had some of you guys tweet me like, man, I'm allergic to peanut butter flavor. Why are you suggesting this one to me? If you're obviously allergic to it, do not eat the peanut butter flavor. But for me, the peanut butter flavor is my favorite one. It's packed with 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. Also, it must suck to be allergic to peanut butter. I couldn't imagine. But anyways, yeah, go try the Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. What's the deal, guys? There are some things in life that you just don't really want to talk about. You know, issues in a relationship, family problems, or more importantly, sweating through your t-shirt in the public for no reason when out with the boys. Yeah, you heard me right. Everyone has been there, including myself. Simply wearing deodorant doesn't help it either. But SweatBlock antiperspirant wipes can help. SweatBlock is doctor created and doctor recommended. You simply apply it at night before bedtime and go to bed. Then wake up the next day and do your normal routines like nothing ever happened. Except this time, without the worry of sweating through your t-shirt. SweatBlock works for up to 7 days per use and has a dry shirt guarantee. If SweatBlock doesn't keep your shirt dry, you get your money back instantly. If you or someone you know is dealing with this worst issue in life of sweating through your t-shirt, tell them all about Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. Get Sweatblock now and stop sweating. So, Bleacher Report did a redraft of the 2020 NBA draft. They've been doing a lot of these redrafts over the last few days. I think they did the 2019 and 2018 one as well. They've been doing that a lot recently, like this past week. I know it's been ruffling a few feathers, I should say, on Twitter and among the NBA community. A lot of people have been disagreeing with a lot of the things they've been doing. Some of them have definitely been head-scratching. Like, there was one where they had Lonzo Ball still going above De'Aaron Fox. I still like Lonzo a lot. I'm a big fan of Lonzo, but having him above De'Aaron Fox at this point, I think it's kind of wild. Enough about those. They redrafted a 2020 draft, which featured three Pistons: Killian Hayes, Isaiah Stewart, and Sadiq Bey. So they redrafted those, and the Pistons had them go in all kinds of different areas. But let's talk about some notable ones just real quick. So they had LaMelo Ball leaping the first overall pick. I think that's obvious. Anthony Edwards went down to 2 to Golden State. Anthony Edwards, even though he was picked above LaMelo, LaMelo leapfrogs him here. Anthony Edwards is pretty damn good himself. And I think one that's going to cause, I mean, let me just say this. Doing this 1 year after a draft makes no sense, because a lot of these guys you're drafting for a few years down the line. After their rookie season, you're not going to expect them to be like high on this kind of list. It's always kind of dumb to me to do this. It's stupid. But Tyrese Haliburton is 3. You know there's going to be a lot of Pistons fans that lose their minds because a lot of them want Haliburton over Killian Hayes. So him being this high in the draft is going to make them really, you know, talk a lot. And I've already seen some of it happen. But literally after 3, you get your first Piston. Now, don't think that it's the Piston that you thought it was going to be. Because if you think it's Sadiq Bey, it was not Sadiq Bey. It was Isaiah Stewart. Bleacher Report goes on to say about Isaiah Stewart. He eventually established himself as an exciting piece of Detroit's future, though, thanks to a combination of old-school bruising interior play and a hint of outside shooting. He goes on to say, if a player his size can just get to the average from three-point range, it'll be a valuable part of his game. And they go on to mention his stats, what he did for the Pistons this season. So what do I think about Isaiah Stewart being fourth on this list? First of all, it honestly caught me off guard. This person who did this list obviously is extremely high on Isaiah Stewart. Like, you have to be extreme, and this is Andy Bailey. I respect a lot of the things Andy Bailey does. So I'd like to hear from him how he got to this conclusion for Isaiah Stewart being number four. Because that is hefty. That's a lot of praise right there. Like, you're putting him above Quickly, Okongwu, Patrick Williams. I think Patrick Williams should still go pretty high. Like, Patrick Williams was pretty damn good. And he also is like still has his potential too. Which, is, again, I just don't get why they do this after a year. But anyways, Isaiah Stewart number 4. That's hefty praise. Especially for a guy who, when the Pistons drafted him, people were laughing at them. Basically saying, you shouldn't have drafted him this high. You could have got him in the second round. Now we're talking about a year after the redraft. He's being picked 4th. Now, do I think he's going to be the 4th best player from this draft in like a few years from now? Probably not. I don't think that's going to happen. However, this does back up what I've been saying for, I think, since I took over this podcast, actually. I think I said this in like one of my first podcasts, that I think Isaiah Stewart is a bigger piece to this puzzle for the Pistons than Sadiq Bey is. I think he has more potential than Sadiq Bey. I think his skill set and potential skill set is more viable and rare than Sadiq Bey's. And I just think Isaiah Stewart, in the pecking order of the Pistons' young prospects from this past draft, I just feel like Isaiah Stewart's higher on that list than Sadiq Bey. I think he's played really well already, and he also projects to be more viable for the Pistons, I think, with what he could possibly do in the future. I think, again, like they mentioned in this article, and I've mentioned this before, that if you can have a big guy like Isaiah Stewart, who's physical, plays good defense, is willing to get down and dirty in the paint, play strong, is not scared of people defensively, like all that kind of stuff, is vocal, all that, sets hard screens, but can also hit shots from beyond the arc, potentially has really good touch from three-point range, mid-range, free throw line, and around the basket, and he started to show a little bit of potential. This is maybe too small of a sample size to really get too excited about, but he did show an incredibly small sample size towards the end of last season of him putting the ball on the ground, attacking closeouts. So a big man that can do all those kind of things and also not be a liability, but actually a big plus on defense, that's more viable than any 3-and-D guy can be. That's to me. So it makes sense for Isaiah Stewart to be over at Sadiq Bey 4th. Pretty hefty praise. I'll accept it. But fourth, definitely, is pretty damn high. He originally was picked 16th. That's a 12 draft spot increase. That's pretty damn good. So Troy Weaver so far looking like a genius with Isaiah Stewart, like we already knew. But it's good to hear, or good to see, I should say, Isaiah Stewart getting his love in nationally on a Bleacher Report article. So next, you have to travel all the way down to 16, where Sadiq Bey will be drafted by the Detroit Pistons. So if you remember in the draft, this is the spot where they drafted Isaiah Stewart. They got that in the trade. I believe it was for Trevor Ariza when they traded him to Portland. And then he ended up doing whatever he had to do. But the Pistons got that in the trade. No, they didn't. I don't think they traded him to Portland. They brought Trevor Ariza over here and then got a pick. Somewhere wrong with the Trevor Ariza trade. But they got the pick for him in Portland there, and they selected Isaiah Stewart with that pick. So at this pick instead, in the redraft, they got the Pistons taking Sadiq Bey. Now, I think some of the question about this one is, how does Sadiq Bey still fall to 16th? Why is he not any higher? And Andy Bailey mentioned this a little bit. He talks about the shooting alone is encouraging, but if Bey can become more consistent as a multi-positional option on the other end, his 3-and-D ceiling is really high. So I think one of the reasons why Sadiq Bey slides to this area is because it's basically basing it off your rookie season. Now, you would say, you know, Sadiq Bey was all-rookie first team member. There's no way he should be 16. I would agree with you because it really doesn't make sense because a lot of these, like, oh, God, I just hit my mic. I am so sorry for messing your guys' ears up just now. But, yeah, a lot of these picks are based off the fact that they had a great rookie season. Like, some of these guys, and we'll talk about Killian Hayes is one of them, but there's a few other guys like Patrick Williams as well who has the potential to be really good, maybe didn't have as good a rookie season as all these other guys, but still would go where he went because of his potential as well with having a good rookie season. He would still go where he normally went. There's a few other guys that did this as well. So if they're just going off their rookie season, you'd say, you know, Sadiq Bey should be up there. But it looks like that he's doing like a little bit of both. Like he's trying to juggle rookie season and also future output, which I think he struggles a little bit with doing that in here. But I'm not going to talk about that too much. Either way, I think it speaks to the fact that Sadiq Bey's ceiling is really low outside of Detroit. I know people inside Detroit really think that Sadiq Bey can be this great player. But, you know, basically everyone outside Detroit that I've spoken to and I've read about, they see him as just a 3-and-D guy. And I've mentioned before that being a 3-and-D guy is not that bad if you can become like a Mikal Bridges and perfect that as best as you can. You're like a top 60 guy, top 50 guy in the league. But a lot of them don't end up to be like that. And being a 3-and-D guy is fine, but when you have guys ahead of them like Tyrese Maxey, you got Patrick Williams, like I said, Isaac Okoro, these guys with like more potential, etc., I guess that's the reason why he slides down. I still don't agree with that. I'd still have Sadiq like top 10. You can't make the top. You can't make all rookie first team, and not be like in the top 10 in a redraft the immediate year afterwards. I don't see how that works, especially when like it seems like that you're going for the whole who did their best in the rookie season kind of thing. But yeah, that one doesn't make sense. I don't know. I'd like to pick his brain a little bit more on why he had him sliding that far still. You'd think that Sadiq would jump up to the top 10 easily, but he didn't. And then the final Piston on here was Killian Hayes. And this one, I don't think it's going to shock some people, but I think some people may think it's kind of stupid. And it is. But they have Killian Hayes dropping to 26 to the Boston Celtics. So he says in the article, it's fair to wonder whether Killian Hayes will ever live up to his status as a top 10 pick, but it's too early to sell all your stock on him. So this is my thing with Killian Hayes, and we've talked about this before. He's played 26 damn games. He had an injury midway through his season. No, not even midway. 7 games into his season, missed multiple months, and then played 19 games. So, and the thing is, when you drafted Killian Hayes, and, you know, the Pistons just got rid of Sekou Doumbouya, and it's kind of, he's not a project like Sekou, but it's the same thing. Like, you drafted this guy for years down the line. You didn't draft him because you thought he was going to be amazing out the gate. He had some things to work on, but you got him because he had the potential to be something down the line. And unless that potential, you don't see that anymore, which you do see that potential still. Unless you don't see that potential, he shouldn't really slide that far because you didn't draft him for the one rookie season. You drafted him for years down the line. As long as he flashed that potential, he shouldn't really slide that far. So making him slide, was it 19 spots? It's kind of crazy to me. And the fact that he even says that it's too early to sell all your stock on him, it's kind of, I don't know. I think it's just stupid. That's why I don't agree with doing these little redrafts a year afterwards, because these guys, a lot of these guys, you're drafting for years down the line. not the immediate year of their rookie season. Like, of course, Tyus Haliburton was going to look better. I think a lot of people thought he was going to look better immediately coming out, especially in the role that he went to in Sacramento. But, like, a few years down the line, we were worried about Killian Hayes, and he didn't do nothing to really dissuade you from that. So I just think this whole redrafting a year afterwards is just dumb. But that's where Killian Hayes is at. I don't agree with it. I think you drafted him because of his potential and his future, and you haven't really made me – nothing's happened that makes me doubt that future right now. So I think he still should at least be in the lottery. That's – I mean, come on. But anyways, when we come back, we'll talk about one Piston player from the Going to Work squad that you would want on this team. We talked about it a little bit on the last podcast. I talked about it on Twitter a little bit with all you guys. We'll talk about it here as well. But before we get into that, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. You ever need a part for your car? Head to the store. Go through a ton of confusing questioning just for one of the works to tell you that they don't have the part that you're looking for. I know I have. I've dealt with crappy cars for years since graduating high school. I've dealt with it so many times. That's why you should avoid all these problems and rock with another one of our sponsors, rockauto.com. Find whatever part you're looking for on your computer or in your hand by using rockauto.com. Don't worry about having to create an account or make it a membership. Just head over to rockauto.com and start shopping. It's that easy. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest and most reliable prices. Head over to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And when you do head over there, make sure you write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box so they know that we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Then let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, BetOnline.ag. Betting is now legal in Michigan. And if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. And I already am taking advantage of that right now, man. With the NFL season back up, man, week two, we getting right back in it. However, there was one problem I constantly ran into. There's just so many different apps to bet through. Which betting app is the best to use? Which one is the best for me? That's when I found BetOnline. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season is starting back up right now. We got week two, like I said. The NBA is coming back up soon in about 20 days. And the MLB is still in full swing. But if you want to take your adventures beyond sports, however, BetOnline has you covered there too. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, things I didn't even know you could bet on. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit and make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, we mentioned this on the last podcast with the mailbag. One of you guys sent me in this question about, you know, if you took one of the players from the Going to Work squad right now and put them on the Pistons, who would it be? And I only spent a little bit on it because, you know, it was a mailbag. But I said on that podcast, and I'm holding true to that, that I want to talk about it even further because I thought it was an incredible question. And I took to Twitter, I tweeted out, and we have about 1,000 votes in right now. And the votes right now for who you would take, it's really split like 30-30-30 right now. And it's the leader right now is Rashid. He has about 34% of the votes. Then you got Chauncey and Ben basically summing up about 30% of the votes. 28, 29 around there. So Rashid is winning it right now in my Twitter poll. We got about 1,000 votes, like I said, involved in it. I mentioned on the podcast that I would take Rashid. And this is why. Rashid, I feel like, seriously, is one of those players. Like, there's all kinds of players that people say, you know, if you put them in this era of basketball, this spaced era of basketball, this era of basketball where you can get a foul calls for getting sneezed on, or like all that kind of stuff, the spacing, the pace, all that type of thing, the emphasis on 3-point shooting. Who would like be better if you planted them in this era? I think Rashid Wallace is number one on my list of anybody you can pick. Because Rashid was just that type of talented. He could shoot from outside. He could shoot from inside. Not inside, but he could shoot from mid-range. And he could score from inside, is what I should say. And he was a really damn good defender, too. So he's just, there wasn't really a weak spot in Rashid's game. He seriously was, I think he was the most talented player on the Going to Work squad. I think he was the one who sacrificed the most. Because I feel like Rashid really could have been an all-star in and out, in and out, in and out, year in, year out. Like, I feel like that could have been Rashid. I think he'd be one of the best players in the entire league. That's how skillful Rashid was. Now, obviously, the techs and the emotional aspect to it, maybe some people would argue held him back a little bit. But I think that actually propped him up, and I think it would help him with a squad like the Pistons. He could lead by example, lead by their vocal leader. They need someone like that, and I think he would do great here as well. Obviously, they have Isaiah Stewart and Jeremy Grant right now, a power forward center. But at that point, you just – if you get Rasheed, you sit one of them. Like, as simple as that. Maybe you sit Isaiah Stewart, and then you start Rasheed Wallace. I think Rasheed's just that damn good in this era that you take him. And I think he fits really well with this squad, too. I think he would help them a lot and help them win games and get to the playoffs this year. So I think Rasheed would be the obvious pick. He shot around 35% from three in his final four season with the Pistons. That is decent for a stretch big, but I think it would be even better now in this league, in this era of basketball with this, with how spaced out the floor is. He'd probably get a lot more easy looks, especially playing with Cade and Killian Hayes if he was on this squad. So, and again, I think he was the most skilled player on the roster back then. So my pick is Rasheed Wallace. I think he's a two-way threat that just does everything. There's not really a weakness in his game. He was durable as well. So Rasheed Wallace, he's my pick. But I know some people were picking other guys. Obviously, it's not going to be a landslide, just one guy. There's fan favorites with other players. And obviously, there's some cases to be made for other guys, like Chauncey Billups. So the reason why I didn't go with Chauncey is because they have Cade and Killian Hayes already. Now, I understand that I just said that you would sit Stu, but I think that Rasheed is, like I said, I think he's the most skilled guy, so I'm willing to do that for Isaiah Stewart. For Chauncey, though, I really want to still bank on the Killian Hayes, Cade Cunningham backcourt. And I think, I really do think that it's between Chauncey or Rasheed, because Chauncey is the kind of guy, like, you saw what happened. As soon as he left Detroit, he went to Denver, and they immediately made a conference finals. Like, he was the kind of guy who just impacted winning. And I think I called him in the last podcast, or a few podcasts ago with Bryce from Motor City Hoop Podcast, that I pretty much called Chauncey like a souped-up Kyle Lowry in this generation. Like, Kyle Lowry gets a lot of credit now because, you know, because of advanced analytics, and people pay attention more to the play, I feel like. Kyle Lowry's not going to go out there, average 25 points a game, 8 assists, and, like, do all kind of crazy stuff. But you know that he's one of the best players in the league because of the stuff he does. Like, when you watch the little tiny details, his leadership. And advanced analytics do help portray that. It helps paint that kind of picture. It helps you see it better. And I think Chauncey is someone who would benefit even more from that in this era as well, because he was the same type of way. Like I said, a souped-up version of Kyle Lowry. So I do think it's between Chauncey and Rasheed, though I would still go with Rasheed simply because I think Sheed would be better. If he really wanted to be, I think she could be better in this era. That's just me. And I still, and also I want to still bank on the Cade and Killian backcourt. And then the final pick, Ben. I mentioned this on a few podcasts as well, that I think Ben would still be good in this era. But if you'd be lying to yourself if there isn't like a little bit in the back of your head saying, okay, I'm a little bit, there's reason to be worried about whether Ben could last in this era. I think he could. I think he'd be good, but don't act like there's not any kind of like reason to doubt that. His offensive game was extremely limited. Now, one would argue, and I would make this argument as well, that Ben was able to buy into a role of being a rim-running lob threat, and he was a freak athlete. The dude wore headbands, his arm sleeves. He would jump out the building. So Ben knew his role. He bought into it. So he maybe, would he be like one of the best rim-runners in the NBA? Would he be one of the best lob threats in the NBA? Possibly, yeah. So maybe he buys into his role in offense. Would he still be the same kind of defensive monster on defense in this era? Possibly. Could he be? Could he not be? Yeah. I think it's a discussion to be had. He would be spaced out a lot more. He'd be forced to guard in the perimeter a lot more. Now, Ben was, like I said, a freak athlete. He could move his feet really well. He was extremely fast, extremely strong. So maybe he would be perfectly fine doing it. But he definitely would be taken out of his comfort area because he wouldn't be able to play help defense as much like that if they really try to pull him away from the basket. I think there's just, while I think Ben would be fine in this era if you made me bet on it, I do think there's a little bit of, there's enough question marks or at least like toss up that you have to sit there and talk about that would make me like, you know, stay away from it a little bit. Or not stay away. Actually, let me not stay away. Because if you could say, give me Ben Wallace in the squad, you're definitely I'm taking Ben Wallace. That would be a major upgrade. That would be major. He's a Hall of Famer. But if you're making me pick between these three, there's enough of like question marks with Ben that I don't have about the other guys in this era for me to pick the other guys instead. Real quick, also, I saw some people saying Rip. I just don't really buy that one. I know the argument with Rip is that he's a better fit than all the other guys, but I'm just not buying that because I don't think he's one of the best players that you could bring back. And I know people would be like, well, you know, if you could just get rid of the young core, then why are you even doing this exercise at all? I don't think sitting one of them and letting them be a backup is getting rid of them. Like, them being a backup, which I think could be their, like, likely long-term role, is not getting rid of them. It's just them settling into a role that they probably should be in anyways. So, like, if you're bringing Rasheed in or you're bringing Chauncey and one of them goes to the bench, that's not getting rid of them. It's just, you know, you got a better player. When you get a better player, you do what you got to do. So I get, like, shooting guard would make more sense with like Cade and then Rip, But Rip's just not going to affect the game the same way these other guys are. So I don't think that's a real answer for me, at least. So, but anyways, let me know what your guys' answer is. I've made it known my answer is Rashid with a close second of Chauncey, and then Ben Wallace will be right afterwards. Also, I'm not really considering Tayshaun. I think if you say Tayshaun, you're trolling. No disrespect to Tayshaun, but there's four other guys on that team that's better and four other guys that would impact the game more, in my opinion. If you pick Tayshaun, you'd be trolling. Maybe if you're like a contender and you need a wing that's 3-and-D, then you pick Tayshaun. But if you're a team like the Pistons, like they are right now, and you get the pick of any of those five, if you pick Tayshaun, you're trolling. That's just me. You're like, you're a mega troll. You're a troll. But yeah, let me know what your guys' answer is in the reviews down below. I always read all those, so you guys can write it down there. Or you can tweet me at CookieHillNBA or tweet me at LockedOnPistons your answer. Thank you guys for listening to today's podcast. I had a lot of fun recording it. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Make sure you go down below and give me a 5-star review. Hope you guys enjoy your guys' weekend. I believe in about a week and a half of returning to daily episodes, man. The season's coming up. The offseason went by really fast. That's crazy. So, yeah. But next week, we're still going to be on the 3-episode a week. Still kind of on, like, a break, a vacation kind of thing. So, but yeah. Thank you guys for listening today. I'll see you guys on Monday, I should. And peace out. Have a great weekend, everybody.